Hey guys, and welcome back to Box Mining. Today we have a very cool interview that dives very deep in the whole trading ecosystem for cryptocurrency. So we have Jack Tang, the co-founder of both Kronos and WuTrade. So WuTrade and the Kronos guys are famous throughout the crypto trading space. They're at the back end of a lot of crypto trading and major exchanges. And recently, they're also launching their own platform that's offering zero fees, which is kind of ridiculous. And we'll talk a little bit about that and how they can even achieve that, because that's a question I have in my mind. So welcome, Jack, to the channel. And since this is your first time here, do you mind giving a quick introduction of how you got started and everything, etc.?
Yeah, sure. Really excited to be here. So Mark Pimentel, my co-founder, and I got started in crypto about 2.5 years ago. And the first company we kind of built out was called Kronos Research. And it's mainly focused on creating these high frequency strategies. And our key difference between what we do and what kind of the other quant teams do is that we're directional in nature, meaning we have to predict correctly what markets do in the next few minutes so that we can make money. Most other guys are just making like arbitrage or this kind of like basis trade, this type of trading. So what we do is very, very different.
So I guess the way you say it is that you guys have to go on the correct direction. So you're not just arbitrating between places and just taking free alpha, but you actually have to know where the market is going. So a lot of strategic information there. So that's actually very interesting, because obviously a lot of my viewers, they are trading and there's a lot of technical analysts out there. Can you tell me if your strategy, when you first started, is that strategy based on, you said high algorithmic trading, is that based on any sort of technical analysis, or how do you design your algorithms?
Yeah, so technical analysis is interesting. And we see that in the longer term strategies, TA kind of works. And it's really analyzing how price action goes around certain key support and resistance levels, and then how the prices move given the kind of context in the market, right? This is what's useful for us in the longer term markets. But the bread and butter for what we do is high frequency. So that kind of information is pertaining to the order book mostly. So we try to profile people for market makers. So when they do things, it means a certain thing. When a retail person does certain things, it means something else, right? So we try to profile every single kind of order that's on the order book, right? And then we have a very accurate picture of how things may move in the next few minutes or so.
I see. So this is actually very interesting, because we know there are already market makers, and what you're trying to do is, do you actually have access to, like, this is 100% an order by market maker? Do you already have to guess that based on the information provided on the order book?
We guess the information, and it's not just like a snapshot of information. It's also a sequence of information that comes at us, right? So we have a bunch of like machine learning models and kind of like very sophisticated stuff that we do that we can't really get into. But I've been doing this for, and I started as a discretionary trader when I was like 14 years old. I just got my kick from watching the ticker on CNBC and figuring out various patterns and how to trade these things, and got really interested.
Interesting. So it's combining kind of profiling and trying to guessing. So you don't have access to more information than what's out there for the general audience. The other question I kind of ask is, like, because your frequency is so high, how do you reduce the fees? Because I mean, I'm pretty sure that if you trade $1 billion, you're going to be racking up a lot of fees, right?
Yes, we pay every day. I look at the P&L numbers and how much we pay in fees. And it's just like, oh my God, if we didn't have to pay that, it would be really amazing. But actually our fees are the lowest across all of the major exchanges, right? I think no one has better fees or speed than we do, but still we pay a lot because our frequency is so high. Now, you know, we don't really think that this actually makes that much sense, because like our flow is actually very toxic. Right? So exchanges should be charging us more and the retail less. And that's kind of what we're trying to do with this new project.
Okay. So tell me about, that's your origins, high frequency, quant trading, that crazy stuff, profiling, AI, everything, for all the hot words thrown in, but now you're trying to launch your own platform, your own project as well. So can you tell me a little bit about WuTrade?
Sure. WuTrade, the idea of WuTrade came about because so many exchanges wanted us to go and provide liquidity to them and market make for them. And it was just not economically worthwhile for us to connect to their APIs and deal with all of their like idiosyncrasies of each exchange. So what we decided to do was we thought, why don't we take everything we've built in Kronos, right? And try to help out these newer exchanges or smaller exchanges, and even the larger ones, to standardize liquidity and make trading execution, order execution, the main focus for all of these trading platforms, right? So forget how much volume each exchange does, because at the end of the day, like if you're a trader, it doesn't matter how much volume is done, right? What matters for you is, are you getting the best execution? Are you getting the lowest fees, right? Mm-hmm. Are you trading the stuff you want to trade? So that's what we're trying to do with WuTrade. And the way to do that is to basically, one, unify the liquidity in that entire space. And then two, provide like, get really top-notch market makers on the platform and then have them pay the users, the end users, to come and trade against them, right? So that's how we're getting zero fees. The market makers are going to start paying, as opposed to retail paying to trade on the platform.
Got it. So by itself, WuTrade is already an exchange, right? And then users can go register an exchange on exchange. But here, the fees are based on more geared towards the kind of the professional and the market maker side rather than the user side. So that does give me a big question. I mean, in crypto, they often say if something is too good to be true, it often is. So obviously, I think one of the weakest points here is that, will you get a better deal? Because you're obviously trading against the market maker has to make money somehow. So here, are you going to get a better deal on this exchange for better rates versus on like Binance or one of the big exchanges out there?
Yeah. So I'll give you an example, like Hu.com, it's this smaller exchange and their bid-ask spread on Bitcoin USDT was like $5 before. Mm-hmm. And there was almost no debt, right? So if you sell like 5 Bitcoin, you're like screwed, right? You're losing a lot of money just trading back and forth. After they connected to us, now there's like 20, 30 Bitcoin within a couple of dollars of spread, right? Mm. But what they've done at zero cost to them is connect to WuTrade and basically just flow all of their trading volume to us, right? Mm. For some pairs, right? For the major pairs. And this has allowed them to service their customers a lot better, right? Mm. Now, when we say zero fees, like in these AMAs and whatnot, like a lot of people are asking us, okay, how are you making money, right? Like what is your business model if you're not charging for fees? And I alluded to this a little bit earlier, right? For the concept of toxicity. The way to explain this maybe is like, you know, if you're going to a party, you want to party with like attractive people, let's say, right? And attractive people would be the ones that are like low toxicity, okay? So let's say this club is really good at filtering out the, you know, the highly toxic people. And so you would pay money to go to this club. Right. So that's kind of what we're doing. We're kind of filtering out the really toxic flow from the HFT guys. Right. And then we're only allowing kind of retail flow into the system such that the market makers, one, can provide better prices than what you see on the lit exchanges like Binance and Bull B. Right. And two, they can provide much deeper books. Right. So if you want to dump like 100 Bitcoin or buy 100 Bitcoin, you can do that like in a snap of a finger. And maybe have $1 or $2 of slippage, as opposed to now there's like $10 or whatever it is on a lot of the cases. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, okay, all right. That's a fun way to describe it, but two things, right? So first of all, so retail is the attractive part, right? That's in your analogy, if you're in a party, retail is the attractive part, but doesn't that mean that retail becomes the victims? I mean, if like...
I don't know the victims. I don't know about that. I would compare it like this, right? So attractiveness is relative. Toxicity is also relative. What is toxic for a Kronos market making team may not be toxic for a longer term trading team, right? Mm-hmm. So we only care about the kind of the few minutes kind of a time frame, right? So if your trade against us is not toxic within that time frame, we're happy to take it aside and at a better price than you can get in anywhere else, right? So you're definitely...
All right. Let's see. In your example, okay, so you said, okay, short term, you guys identify some toxic trading that you don't want and you don't want filtered and you probably want to pay extra for that, right? But what would you define as toxic? What is toxic in, like, what would it be a broad example of toxic?
Sure. Toxic would be like Chronos taking strategies, right? So let's say you're making a market, right? You're putting up a market, there's a bid and an ask, and then there's like a supply on both sides, right? Every time I sell, the market immediately falls.
Yep.
Like every time I buy, the market immediately goes up. So you're all losing on the other side. That would be toxic trading. Yeah.
Right. But you just listed your own self, your another brand just toxic, right? So you said, okay, you have market making strategies and then you have your own market taking strategies. So are you filtering yourself out in that respect?
Yes, we are. We are filtering out Chronos strategies, taking strategies for sure. We're only running the market making, like liquidity type of strategies. Yes.
Got it. Okay. So it comes really down to the strategies, what people have access to. So at the end of the day, you're deploying your platform where people can trade on there. So retail can come, but also this can link up to other exchanges, right? So yet again, it goes down to if you're not charging the exchanges, if you're not charging retail, who do you charge? How do you make money?
We're charging the market makers. The market makers need to pay a fee on every single dollar of trade. Traded volume in order to be on this platform, right? So at the end of the day, what's going to happen is that if you are not a HFT type of trader, or you're a bad HFT trader, then you can trade for free. If you are very toxic, then you will have a different order book, right? We will price you at the right risk reward, right? But hopefully, we can still provide better markets for you versus the other exchanges out there.
Got it. So I think this gets to the intricacies of trading, right? Where there's a certain definition of frequency, how frequent someone trades, and you can scale according to it. So would they basically hit a paywall? Like if someone was trading a WuTrade and if it's retail, I mean, for me, I can't really barely punch out more than one transaction per 1 minute, right? I usually double check the numbers and stuff. Okay, let me assume I'm like the dumbest type of most secure conservative type of trader. Right, that's one order per second, but per minute. But let's say I ramp this up, I figure out some of my own algorithms. Would I now have to start paying more? How does that work? Is there a cutoff or whatnot?
Well, I think it's all driven by the algorithms, right? So if market makers are not able to service you in the right way, then they're going to widen out the bid ask spread, or they cannot give you the best prices, then you'll go somewhere else, right? So always a competition. It's a free competition in crypto, right? It's global. So if we're not providing the best prices and the execution, then basically people will go somewhere else.
Got it. Okay, so you're creating all this, you're creating this platform. I find this kind of interesting. So one of my major concerns about this, right? So I did a lot of research on this, especially because from my friends, they were saying that WuTrade is really legit in terms of the trading side, right? But the product that I was a little bit concerned with is that this kind of trading circle, high frequency trading circle, there's only a few quants in the world that do this, right? It's not suitable for everything. But at the same time, you're releasing a token, which kind of has accessibility to the public. So kind of like, what's in it for the general public to understand this ecosystem and to understand what you're trying to do?
Yeah, so for the general public, right, like the reason why we created WuTrade in the first place is that we wanted to take everything we've built for Chronos, all the AI, all the technology, all of the kind of branding that we've done with Chronos, we wanted to port that over to WuTrade and then really affect how people in the marketplace can, one, trade and two, invest. Right. That was actually the initial goal of Chronos research. but we kind of got sidetracked. And the first thing we had to do was prove our trading ability and make kind of good returns at good risk reward ratios. So it took us a year and a half to do that, just that. And then a year and a half ago, we finally had time and the energy to incubate WuTrade. So at the end of the day, if you want zero fee trading, if you want access to really good kind of trading teams and good products, then you basically have a use for a token.
Okay, I'm moving on the topic of this, right? So you've been saying that, you know, you've been working with exchanges in the space in the ecosystem for a long time. And I think on this channel, we've been very concerned about fake volume also. So I feel like this is something that's happening in the space. And I think just zooming out for a second, right? So not just about WuTrade, but do you think this, did you guys see a lot of this kind of fake volume? How do you test for it?
It's a function of a few things, right? Like if you're trading and you see the printed volume as very high, but then the bid-ask spread is kind of wide, and then the prints are kind of like weird patterns, then definitely is something going on. We don't trade on the smaller exchanges precisely for this reason, right? Yeah. But you know, at the end of the day, it's hard as a smaller exchange to make it in this kind of like HBO dominated world, right? Even the biggest exchanges in the US, like Coinbase Pro or like Bitstamp, their liquidity and depth isn't that great, and the number of things you can trade on those things are not great, right? So then it's like really hard to compete with HBO. And what we've done is we've given smaller exchanges the tools to actually have a better order book than HBO combined, right? So then they don't really need to like fake volume and fake this or fake that. They can actually go and compete on customer service or like user experience, all those things that actually matter to the end user.
But okay, a few things, right? So first, can you, for people who don't know what HBO is, can you define what it is?
So will be Binance OKX.
So it's your the top. Okay, so now in that sense, okay, a few things. If you combine all the exchanges' liquidity together, doesn't that mean that you're effectively only trading on one exchange? All the small ones, even though they might have a different user base, they're kind of having access to the same amount of liquidity, right? So it doesn't really matter anymore in that kind of sense, or how does that work?
That's the dream. The dream is
that's
the
dream.
Standardized liquidity, zero fees for everybody. That is the dream. I think if we can do that, then this whole space has a lot less friction, right? The bigger guys that come in, for smaller guys, they're not paying pocket for like 10 bips trading fees and big bid-ask spreads. Then the industry can move forward more efficiently.
Okay, so you touched a little bit upon decentralized finance as well. We recently saw the rise of a few decentralized exchanges, right? Ranging from Uniswap all the way to Serum. What's your take on that? Do you think that's going to be the future? Or do you have enough tools, or do you think that's not enough at the current point?
I think it could be the future. I think very likely it could be the future. But, you know, I tried using some of these things and it's just like, I don't know. For me, it doesn't really work, right? So if it doesn't work for me, I'm thinking about like my parents or my friends in traditional finance. Like I sent this stuff to them as well. These guys are very smart and they work in investment banking or self and trading. They couldn't figure it out very easily, right? So I think the learning curve is a little bit too steep in DeFi for regular people. Now, if we're somehow able to like upgrade our brains and become more like all techies, we could probably get into DeFi very easily, right? And this would be the future, near future. So as it stands, I think DeFi needs to solve a few problems. The first is the user experience, right? How do you onboard onto this thing? And even using like MetaMask and these long addresses and long private keys, it doesn't work for people. It works for computers, but not people. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the AMM model, I think it serves a specific need in the market where if you're launching a new token and nobody wants to market make, that's perfect. Just do an AMM and then you have instant liquidity, right? And then if the if the liquidity staker, so the people providing the initial market for this, is putting in like USDT and then whatever token, if they don't care about these two things, like they could just have more of both or like more of one or the other, they don't really care, then it works for them. If they really care about one, having more of one, then they could actually lose a lot of money, right?
Yeah, and permanent loss is gigantic, right?
Which is a concept that's not very well understood. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not, it doesn't, we don't need to go into the details of this, but basically if one of the assets move dramatically, you're going to have a lot less of that. So yeah. That's it.
And I think it's kind of interesting because like it kind of opened up a new world. I think with automated market making, you can crowdsource your initial liquidity, which is something that's, you know, not possible in the normal space, right? All of a sudden, you can ask your users to provide that liquidity, and now you can have a coin that's highly liquid. But of course, the downside is you don't have the ability to set good sell or order limit orders, right? So you have some, you take some, you gain some, you lose some, right? I think that's the case. And I think working towards the future, you can kind of see the benefits and advantages of both, I guess, in that sense. So wrapping this up, you're creating this platform, you're creating this token. How does the token even derive value? Or what is it used for?
Sure. So the first thing that we mentioned is zero fees, right? And so various users can stake the tokens and lower their fees all the way down to zero. Okay. Retail, they wouldn't need to stake too much tokens. If you're like kind of more toxic or you're trading a lot of volume, you're more institutional, then you need to stake a bit more tokens to lower it all the way down to zero. That's the first use case. There's other use cases like what other platforms do, staking, buyback and burn. And you can also imagine that like centralized kind of liquidity pools could also benefit from having an AMM type of market, right? Type of a market making system. So I think you're going to see like a marriage of DeFi and CeFi more so in the next few months than in the past. So in that kind of a scenario, then you can imagine that the platform token would be used in a similar fashion. Mm. There's other use cases like because we're trying to make this, you know, really great platform for the best traders out there and the people who really love trading and investing, we can imagine that the best trading teams will eventually get on this platform some way, right? So if we have access to these people and their strategies, we can kind of craft automated investment funds or kind of targeted investment funds and open that up to a lot of the retail out there, right? So then if you want to invest in this, then you have to stake some proportion of Blue Token and USDT or Bitcoin, whatever it is you're denominated in. And then we can all share the rewards of this.
Got it. But I, the first thing you say that, the first thing that then I'm immediately thinking, okay, is this prone to abuse? Because now if I have a really great fund, I have lots of alpha, then I don't want to share that with everyone else, right? Everyone else is going to jump on my strategy, right? So that could be flawed.
Yeah, for us, like we definitely wouldn't share our code. We definitely wouldn't share like how exactly we're doing the trades. But if someone's like copy trading us, that's okay. If someone is staking in a pool and then the assets are just automatically deployed based on our rules, that's okay, right?
But what do you want to cut of that? I mean, that's your fund, right? I mean, people pay you to do so. So now you're sharing that for free?
Definitely wouldn't. I mean, I don't think anybody would share that for free. So they would definitely get paid in like Blue Token or something like that. If the end
okay,
user
so some sort of share method, right? Okay, got it. Okay, so what's the status of the project? So how much have you built? What's happening right now?
We've built the back end to this project, and now we're building the front end, right? And we're going to be very excited to push the front end out and then see what people think. Maybe you guys hate it, maybe you love it, right? Hopefully it's a lot. Right now, like we've launched the back end for kind of exchanges, wallets, trading platforms, and like Hufu.com, MXC.com, and a few others have connected. They've completely changed how they compete with the larger exchanges because of this. Right? It's kind of like a on and off switch, right? It's not this gradual thing. It's like 100 or zero, right? Once you connect, it's that kind of a feel. So then once they connected, everyone's like, oh my God, we can't compete with these exchanges. And then all of these guys are coming to WeTrade as well now. which is why we've been quite busy in the last few months. So our trading volume has gone up from, like, I don't know, 30,000 a day, like 6 months ago, to like 10 or 15 million today now. This is not even with the real launch of the project. So we think that the volume will grow tremendously from now until summertime. And if we launch like our own trading platform, then it should be a lot better too.
Got it. Got it. So it's the back end. So the ugly stuff is already done. Yeah. So in terms of retail, they can't see much, but the back end, it's already working and you're building out the front end and then building everything towards that. So if someone wants to know a little bit more about it, what's the best way to find out more about WeTrade?
Either Telegram, just search WeTrade or WeNetwork or W.network, the website. So
got it. We'll put the links down below. So I'll definitely thank you a lot for the insight. I really love to hear some of your trading stuff more. Hopefully you can disclose more in the future and tell us a little bit more about trading as well. So thank you guys. Thank you so much for coming here. And thank you guys so much for watching as well.
Thanks, Michael.